Okay, yes, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Rugby Muscle Podcast, your beacon in the sea of strength and conditioning for amateur rugby players. I'm your host, as always, TJ, and after diving into the fundamentals of power training last week, today we are going to look at my top five training methods to supercharge your power on the rugby field. If you didn't listen to the fundamentals last week, I would highly suggest going to do that, because I know a lot of people like to just find a training method, find an exercise, and just throw it into their program. Really, the whole point of what we've been doing with this podcast is giving you not just the tools, but like the blueprint, actually what you need to do to progress your training, to actually transfer onto the field. And this is important because you can't just copy anyone's training. You can't just add one technique and think that it's going to work. You have to do the hard yards at the beginning. You have to sharpen your axe before you start swinging at the tree. You have to know what you're doing and why you're doing it. But I know people like to get examples of different training methods, and we're going to discuss five really good ones that you can use to add to your power training today. So remember that with this power training, power is multifaceted. There is a spectrum of power. So there is, you know, an element of speed, an element of strength, and then power is kind of how you combine both of those to its best ability. Now, if you go all the way to one end of the spectrum and you just focus on speed, that's speed training. All the way to the other end, strength, that's strength training. And that's not to say that doing both of these things won't improve power, but there is an element where you want to train power itself. There's also specific neurological and energetic adaptations that you want to make when you're talking about power training as well. And we'll get into that with these top five methods, don't you worry. But before we get into these methods, I would like to ask if you have any questions or feedback on these methods or on anything for rugby strength and conditioning, let me know in the comment section. We will be doing another Q&A very, very soon, and I use the comment section to get the questions for this. Or you can also ask a question on Spotify by hitting the three dots and just let me know your thoughts. Of course, if you're on YouTube, just comment and say hi down below. It's always good to get some engagement in the community, and just allows me to know what episodes and what content is really vibing with you guys. So come say hi in the comment section. And of course, if you're listening on a podcast platform and you're enjoying this stuff, give us a 5-star review. Those 5-star reviews are massively helpful, as are thumbs up on the YouTube. And of course, if you don't want to miss any of the future podcasts, hit that subscribe button and you'll get the Rugby Muscle Podcast delivered to you on a weekly basis. Now, let's get into the top five training methods for power. Number one, and I think this is going to come a little bit left of field for some people, because they're going to think it's going to be... Actually, I'm not going to guess what you think it's going to be. I just don't think you're going to guess this. It is alactic interval training. So alactic power and alactic capacity, two ways of doing interval training to increase your power. And I know this is conditioning, but this is one of the keys for you to be able to reproduce and continue to produce a high level of power on the rugby field. Because when you're producing power, you need a lot of muscle activation and those muscles to fire rapidly. For that, you need a lot of energy. And if you're going to continually use a lot of energy, you need to be fit. And that's not just fit over 80 minutes, that's also fit in those moments. And that is what this method will be able to enhance. Okay, so alactic power refers to the maximum rate at which the ATP PC system can generate energy. So essentially, what is the peak amount of energy that you can produce in a given time? So any all-out burst of activity lasting up to 6 to 8 seconds, what's the maximum that you can get? So if you're on a watt bike, what's the maximum peak score of wattage that you can get? What's the maximum amount of force that you can produce with your full body at any given time? That is going to be the amount of alactic power that you have. It's how explosive that you can be in those critical game-changing moments. And an alactic capacity is how long you can maintain those near maximum efforts for before fatigue sets in. So it's the endurance to your explosiveness. And that's how you can repeat high-intensity efforts with a minimal drop-off in performance. Actually, how you can repeat those is a combination of those two things, because the more power that you have, you know, even if you experience some drop-off, you're still going to be increasingly, or you're still going to be more powerful than someone that, you know, even if you experience drop-off, you're still going to be more powerful than someone that is significantly less powerful than you. So hopefully that makes sense. It's like Usain Bolt, even if he's really knackered, is still going to be faster than the vast majority of people when, right? So to train these two methods, you're looking at maximally explosive sprints, not necessarily sprints like running sprints, but all out bursts of going as hard as you bloody can. And you're going to go between 5 to 10 seconds at the most. And if you can sustain this for longer than 10 seconds, you're not training this, because you're not reaching that maximum alactic threshold that you need to in order to train this capacity or power, this energy system. So I like to use air bikes. They're probably the best because you can really produce and rip in as much force as you can, and the air then resists it. And you can also measure it and get a good wattage out. But you could also do resisted sprints. Certain repeated throws can work too. And there are some other drills, like if you're driving a teammate with a tackle bag. And that's it. And so to build power, you're just going to do one short rep followed by long rests, you know, 1 to 2 minutes before going again. To build capacity, you can either extend the set. So, you know, rather than go between 5 to 10 seconds, you try and start at 10 seconds and increase that time maybe to 11, 12, and try and sustain that high level of output. I don't like to do that necessarily for rugby, because I don't think you experience those moments where that's overly necessary outside of potentially mauls. More often is the case is you need to repeat that high effort again. So what I like to do is like 3 to 6 short mini sets. So again, you go 5 to 6 seconds and then you get incomplete recovery. So you then rest for maybe 10, 20 seconds at most. And then you go again and you repeat that 3 to 6 times to make one set. And you would do 3 to 4 of those sets. And that would be you training your alactic capacity. Now, I like to build up power first. So I'd like to make sure that you're nice and powerful before we train that capacity. But this is something that can be done at any time in your training, most likely towards, you know, in season or in the beginning or the end of preseason or at the beginning of preseason as well. Whenever you want to have a period of time where you really want to work as hard as you can. I like these at the beginning of the session, beginning of a weight session. Once you've got nice and warmed up, you can have these, get these done with, and then move on to your weights training. In fact, actually, all of these pretty much are going to be done at the beginning of your training session. You could potentially, this is where I start getting into nuances and start contradicting myself, but you could potentially do the alactic stuff at the end of a session, provided that you're not knackered by the time you get there. So if you're only doing strength work and then you go into it, you'll be fine. If you do strength work, then do some hypertrophy stuff and you get a little bit tired, I wouldn't then do alactic work at all. I would do it at the beginning of the session. So hopefully that makes sense. That is alactic power and capacity intervals, my probably number one method to develop power. And again, it doesn't involve anything else because you're already working that strength. You're already working that speed. Now you're working the energy system to supply your power and you're there. But if you do want to work power directly, my next four methods will do that. Number one, or number two of the five, is going to be ballistic training. This method involves basically throwing or launching weights like medicine ball throws or jumps with weights, that sort of thing. Ballistic training is going to focus on maximizing acceleration throughout the movement. So rather than a squat where you start to slow down to finish the movement, or a bench press where you start to slow down to finish it, you're looking at continually accelerating through the movement, like you would do in different explosive actions in rugby. You'll be working 3 to 5 sets of 2 to 5 reps. That would be my basic ballpark figure, but there are also many different ways to do this. So what movements can you do? You can do lots of different jumps. You could do weighted jumps. You could also do unweighted jumps. And then for the upper body, you want to use the front and the back. So for the front, for pushing movements, you want to look at throws, explosive push-ups. I love different throws, and I don't really think that there is a real replacement for them. Gyms will get upset at you for smashing the wall sometimes if you do that, but you know, they shouldn't have medicine balls. They should have a specific wall to throw medicine balls, or they shouldn't have medicine balls because they are supposed to be thrown. Then for pull variations, we're still looking at throws, but we're looking at like slams and throws. We're looking at where you're getting your elbow into your body. You're pulling your elbow in. That's using your back. That's using your pulling muscles. So whatever movement where it comes where you're pulling your elbow in, that is going to be using your back. And that's essentially the type of throws or slams that you want to do to develop power with your back. Key thing to remember here is, you're not going to go too heavy, because if you go really heavy, you can end up sort of wrecking your joints, wrecking your system as well. Actually, you get really tired from doing this. And because you go really heavy, then you're not really actually training power. You end up just sort of training strength poorly, right? If you're noticing yourself slow down at the top of the movement and you're still sort of trying to jump it, that's not really working power. It's just throwing it for the sake of it. Like, I've seen people that do like jumping pull-ups or like clapping pull-ups or whatever. I don't really think that develops power at all, because you're still slowing down on your way up to the top. I don't think that works. So yeah, cool. So that's ballistic training. All you're doing is continually accelerating throughout movement until something is released. Next, we've got plyometrics, not to be confused with ballistic training, because this is different, right? This is more like rebound training. So, it can be done in many different ways, but essentially if you just understand it as rebound training, it just makes more sense than what traditionally people think of as plyometrics. Plyometrics isn't just anything explosive. Plyometrics is rebounding. And there are two ways it can be done. I give this analogy last week, but essentially you've got a Swiss ball and you've got a rock hard rubber bouncy ball, right? The Swiss ball is, especially when it's not completely pumped, but even when it's quite pumped, it's going to absorb the force as it goes into the ground, like you dropping down from any sort of height or dropping into a bit of a squat, and then you're going to project yourself back up, just like the Swiss ball would absorb a little bit of force and then use that force to then recoil and spring back up. You're loading the spring back up, squishing it down, and then it's going to recoil and bounce back up. That's one way, and you're using the muscles to do that. The other way is to have a dense rubber bouncy ball, and rather than a loaded spring, this is more like a spring that doesn't load. It's already really springy, so it just touches and it's back up. And what you're using there is, rather than using, you're using stiff muscles, and you're trying to use the tendons to recoil and help you bounce back up. This is a lot of a why did the camera just pop up when I said this? This is a lot more of a faster contraction, but it is still, it's about being as stiff as possible. And this is not just for the lower body for sprints. You can also use this for the upper body. And if you've never done these, take this slowly. You would use, again, still use the whole body. You can use bat, you can use the throws again, but when we're using the throws, this is all about the catch and the rethrow, right? So with your lower body, it's just about hitting the ground and using that ground. With the throws, you're using the catch and you're using that as a rebound. So whether you're absorbing, coming, bringing the ball all the way to the chest and then projecting it back up, or as soon as you catch it, you're throwing it back up and you're projecting it. So you're minimizing hand contact time, or you're minimizing ground contact time if you're using the lower body. If you've never done these, like I say, take them slowly. Do them at the beginning of your session and just focus on the intent on the rebound. Start with high reps for this. I would start, you know, 10 to 20 reps. Just get into a good rhythm. Get really good at rebounding. Feel more springy each week. And then after, you know, like a month, a good few weeks of training, maybe month, maybe 2 months, you'll feel the effects. You'll feel much more springy. You'll feel much more explosive. Then you can potentially start to move on and cut the reps down and then really focus on that max power and that real ability to spring. This, again, ideally for rugby players, is done mostly year round. Potentially, if you've got a long period of time without playing in the off season, you can potentially nip these in the bud. If you're doing lots of sprints and lots of other stuff that you're training, there's another potential for them not to include these. But I do think plyometrics should feature in the vast majority of your training. And again, done at the beginning of the session. It could even, particularly with the light plyos, especially where you're building that rhythm, they can be done, you know, almost as a warm-up. All right, next we've got contrast training. So essentially what you're going to do is you're going to go from your main strength movement straight to something explosive. This is one of my go-tos for building power, and one of the reasons for that is just the sheer convenience of it. It doesn't really add too much time to your training session, and one potentiates the other, right? In theory. So the heavy work can potentiate the power to be more explosive, and then that explosive work can recruit more muscle fibers to then potentially be able to express strength more. So those two work pretty synergistically really well, and I don't think they take away from your rest time, right? So if you needed 3 minutes for your, you know, to rest from your squats, doing a few jumps afterwards can be part of that 3 minutes. It doesn't really, you're not going to need more time after that. So I really do like using contrast training with my rugby athletes. So you can do squats paired with all types of jumps. You could do RDLs or any sort of hamstring work, lunges, that type of thing. Again, paired with jumps, great way to get some contrast training, get some strength and power at the same time. Bench press can be paired with like plyometric push-ups or throws, as we discussed before, and then pull-ups can be paired with like slams as well. Those are often my go-tos. Both the heavy movement and the variation should have low reps, and you can also, a good way to do this actually, what I do is we'll keep the power movements in as you're working your way up. So say if you're working up to 100 kilos and you take the bar and then you do 60, 80, 90, 95, 100, and that's your first working set. All of those warm-up sets, you could get in some explosive work on your way up and then potentially be done with your explosive work. And that way you can really make sure that this explosive work isn't interfering with your strength movements. Particularly as you get really heavy, that's when sometimes it might interfere enough to get in the way to consider doing it that way. But loads of different ways that you can implement this. Really good time saver. Really something that I like people to use. And then finally, Olympic lifts and variations. So we're looking at clean snatches and all of those variations, hand cleans, power snatches, those types of movements. These full body movements are really good for power. They're good for coordination. They're also good for absorbing the force, similar to like a plyometric where you're absorbing the force coming at you, but when that bar drops back down, so when you've got to catch a snatch or where you've got to catch a clean on your shoulders, whatever that is, when you absorb that force, that's another extra hit of power that you're getting. So it's almost two for one, good bang for your buck. You can lift really heavy here or you can lift light and make it explosive. Olympic lifts are a really good way to increase your power and obviously thus help your rugby performance. Now, it's not always the case that it's not do Olympic lifts, get more explosive, get better at rugby. They have to be deliberately done. If you are no good at these movements, I would suggest starting with just hang snatches, even dumbbell snatches. Single arm dumbbell snatches are a really great way for someone that doesn't know anything. You just literally say, start yourself with your dumbbell hanging, you know, around your knee, drop 1 foot back, and then you're just literally going to jump and catch it above your head. That's it. And it should be quite intuitive, and you should go heavy enough that it needs to be intuitive for you to be able to actually complete the movement. If you're swinging out all the way in front of you, you're being inefficient. So you want to make sure that you've got a good weight so that you have to be efficient. I like hang snatches as well. I like snatches more than I like cleans, simply because you have no choice but to be efficient. Some people can go really heavy with cleans and almost do like a reverse curl kind of thing, and it just doesn't work. That's why I like snatches. You can't do snatches not explosively. So don't think that you're an Olympic lifter. Don't think that you have to lift the heaviest amount of weight. Think that you are training your power. So you're really focusing on extending, jumping, and catching. And I would do 1 to 3 reps at a time at most. That is a good way to get some power work with some Olympic lifting without having to stress about like being overly technical or trying to waste so much time with the technique, with the stress of doing Olympic lifting. Okay, cool. So those are my 5 methods. I know people might ask, what about bands or chains, that sort of thing? I'm sure they're fine, but for me, we want to keep training as simple as possible. All the overcomplicated stuff is basically unnecessary in the grand scheme of things. It's just not I don't see anyone that has trained, they've switched out a regular movement for a banded or a chained movement, and it's made a significant amount of difference. I think a lot of gyms don't have access to this stuff, so there's no point in me recommending it. Can it help? Yeah, sure. But is it going to make or break your training? Absolutely not. And that's why it doesn't make this list. It's not just what you do as well. It's about how you do it. So the intention and the consistency is what matters the most. So take from these five methods what works for you. I'd absolutely 100% recommend doing at least the first three, and then the last two, if they're at your convenience, work great. If you're looking at plyometrics, ballistic training, and alactic intervals, you are going to develop your power, especially if you implement and integrate these methods properly. And that last part is probably the last thing I want to touch on, is the integration of these methods into a coherent program is absolutely necessary for you to be able to make progress. So many people just keep adding shit to their program, not really knowing where it fits in the grand scheme of things, just copying and pasting and putting more things into their program. Hopefully by now, because you've been listening to the podcast, you know that's not the case. And if you're interested in having Rugby Muscle help you sort of nail those, then I'll put links to work with us, get our programs, etc., in the description below. That will wrap this up. So just understand that through these top five training methods, you now have a bit of a toolbox, or you have five tools in your toolbox to help you bring unparalleled explosive strength and speed to your rugby performance. You'll be able to have your gym training translate onto the pitch and be able to experience all the benefits that come with that. So if that fits into your training, perfect. Remember that the best approach is a personalized one. So adapt and adjust these methods to fit your specific needs, goals, and how you want to play. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you've made it all the way to the end and you haven't given us a 5-star review or subscribed yet, hopefully I've earned those from you. Let me know any questions or follow-ups you have in the comments or the 3 dots thing that you can get on Spotify. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you guys in the next one.